Hello everyone and welcome to JFG. Tonight we will be talking about the news, including the banning of a pastor for saying something quite obvious, that people are made male and female, in his view, by God. But in general, you know, the idea that you are born male or female, or there are certain people who are said to be intersex, but really what intersex is a dysfunction of the sexual biological function. Let me make a little adjustment here. So in the end, you are either successfully becoming a male, successfully becoming a female, in whether you produce sperm or egg, or there is some failure along the way and you are suffering from a medical disorder, which is not dramatic, but it's the truth. But the truth cannot be said anymore, less and less it can be said anywhere on the internet. So I'm very happy to be here on Odyssey, where, I mean, they have a anti-hate speech rule, but I don't think they will take issue with me saying that there is such a thing as male and female, and that it's the only thing you can be in the sexual dichotomy that leads to a reproductive act. Let's not forget that biology is... That the function of sex in biology is reproduction, and you can only be a male or a female as part of the reproductive act. Now, you can dress like a male, you can dress like a female, you can force other people to call you a male, you can force other people to call you a female, but the way nature works makes it impossible that you would lead to a successful offspring through an egg if you're a male, and impossible to lead to a successful offspring through a sperm cell if you are a female. That is the nature of the dichotomy of sex. This is what the left has been self-deceiving about for a long time. Michael Montfort had sent a super chat yesterday, but he sent it late after the show, so I'm happy to read it this morning, today. Well, we're not in the morning, but today. He sends $10 through Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Your support through Entropy is wonderful. He says, Jeff, your new show on Odyssey is a return to greatness. Please keep it up and don't even think of returning to YouTube. Yes, well, as long as you guys are supporting the show, as long as you guys don't become shy on this new platform and start saying, oh, you know, JF doesn't need money to survive, then I won't need to go work at McDonald's and I'll be able to continue the show. Pleron says, fuck fake gendering, i.e. not misgendering. Yeah, you could argue that there has been already a semantic victory when people started talking about misgendering, because misgendering, what is it? Is it the gender that I think you are, or is it the gender that you think you are? And by rooting everything in the self-perception, these laws, including the laws in Canada that are now keeping therapists from suggesting even that perhaps, you know, staying in the sex that was assigned to you at birth may be a good idea, that's now illegal in Canada. Now, as it turns, it's not clear if I can even say this. Some people are saying the law is so broad that even a pastor who would say, you know, God wants you to be a boy, even that could be considered counseling and could be considered some form of a formal form of counseling, because it comes from a pastor, and therefore if a LGBT youth was exposed to this sentence, that might violate the new law in Canada. That was precisely the law that the pastor was complaining about. However, the thing does mention that it's only the formal therapy setting. So what does that mean? Is it just psychologists that cannot say this? Does it apply to pastors? Does it apply to me? Because one of the features of this statute, this new statute in Canada, is that you cannot advertise conversion therapy. Now, they call it conversion therapy, but they define it extremely large as being essentially convincing someone not to be unreproductive. Convincing someone to stay in the heterosexual or how do they call it, cisgender category. you cannot convince someone to stay in the cisgender category. But the problem is they say you cannot advertise such services. So if I'm here saying my view is that males will be either males or will fail at doing any reproductive action, and females will be either females or they will fail at performing any reproductive action, am I advertising anything here? I don't know. At some point, they might argue that I am, and at some point, I may not be able to say these things, even on an independent platform, away from YouTube. John Drake says, but you can advertise conversion therapy in the other direction. That is the big problem that I had mentioned when I read this law many shows ago. They are allowing, you can do conversion therapy in Canada. It's just that you have to convert toward homosexuality. If you try to convert away from homosexuality toward heterosexuality, then you are in violation of the law. This is a case I'd like to see in an actual Supreme Court. Unfortunately, in Canada, we don't have an actual Supreme Court. But the fact is that this law is violating the charters of rights, because it's a law that discriminates against heterosexuality and discriminates for homosexuality. It's telling you you can convert toward one direction, but not toward the other. So in other words, it's a law that transforms any psychotherapist into an agent of LGBT propaganda. Go away, says Jeff. I'm having a reproductive reaction to this video. You are? You may be entitled to compensation in Canada. And so tell us, you were led to penetrate a reproductive vagina with your penis. When did that happen? Did the pastor's word influence you? At the moment you came, did you have the impression that you were accomplishing the plan of God? Because you may be entitled to extra compensation. It's him or me. Neil Young throws tantrum over Joe Rogan, demands Spotify remove his songs. Canadian-American 70s performer Neil Percival Young has taken a stand against free speech, demanding Spotify pull his entire music catalog from their platform unless they silence podcaster Joe Rogan. Are you kidding me? This guy? Oh my God. Does this guy have any leverage? I mean, he's with Warner Records. Does he even own his music? It's like you're trying to go out there on a censorship requesting spree. Boomers will boom, says Stephen Robinson. Yes. Why do you want to waste the lives of 12 million people? There's 12 million people watching Joe Rogan. You think you can stop them from watching Joe Rogan? What's the most hilarious thing is that he sent his email to Warner Records. And Warner Records could just say, no, go away, Neil Young. We own your music. Get fucked. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to support the show through your super chats, although you can also use the Odyssey command support right below the video. Those two options are pretty fine. Do subscribe to Odyssey and subscribe to Entropy so that you're always prepared to answer our survey and send questions. Will the Canadian truckers stop the mandates? That is my question to you. There's lots of talk around the truckers. Some people on Gab are complaining against the legitimacy of a GoFundMe campaign that was meant to support the truckers. I don't know the details about it. I would advise being careful in general to who you give money to. You need to know who's the person in charge and whether you trust them to use your money intelligently. So I don't have a strong take to tell you. I can't guide you on telling you this GoFundMe. I think the GoFundMe has been banned now. So in any case, you won't be able to give money to them. But yeah, is the GoFundMe linked to the actual trucker revolt? I don't know. What I can say is I'm seeing pictures. There is actually a trucker convoy. There are people rooting for them across Canada. They are on bridges holding signs and they're looking at them passing through the highway, apparently headed toward Ottawa. That's what people claim. That's all I know. Honey sends a question on entropy. He says, did you try to get on this show? He's talking about the Elias Schaefer show. He says, it passed the Nick Fuentes test. I hope it's not below you to lobby for a spot on shows and exposure. I'm always up for going to shows. No, I have not attempted to go on the Elias Schaefer show. I think that eventually, this book will be known by a lot more people than it is currently known about. And eventually I might get invited on higher crowd shows. But right now that's not where the public attention is. So it's very hard for me to get an invitation from Elias Schaefer. I have no connection to him. I have no path to interacting with him. On top of it, you have to note that it's not because someone in America gets Nick Fuentes that they would get me. It's much harder because I cannot travel to America. I mean, I could try. I could try. But I'm not super enthusiastic at the idea of crossing the border. As I've explained many times, it's a moment where your rights are suspended. There is a lot of things that an immigration agent could annoy me with, and you're giving up a lot of arbitrary discretion to an immigration agent when you pass the border. There's a lot of things that they could annoy me with that a police could never annoy me with. Like here I'm staying in my house, they need essentially an order from a judge to find me guilty potentially of some crime before they ever annoy me. If I cross the border, they can say, oh, extremism and all these things you've said. So it's very hard for me to get on an American show that invites their guests through plane trips. But if they do welcome webcam appearances, I can definitely do this. And as you can see from my setup here, I have very good audio, very good video. I can be arbitrarily good as they as they require. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, will you elaborate on your Discord follower ranking? What do you mean by terminally differentiated? Oh, I'm not the one making these rules. The managers, the administrators at our Discord, you have a bunch of volunteer administrators of the Discord who have made up these roles. You have to keep in mind that there are certain roles that are not even meant for you to care about. And terminally differentiated is one that I think plays an administrative role. I think it gives you permission to speak in certain audio channels, but it's not important. Don't worry about it. He says, Jeff, what percent of the population would be truly hermaphrodite? Truly hermaphrodite? It's a very small percentage of the overall hermaphrodite. So let me Google it here. So hermaphrodites as a whole is less than 2%. Intersex as a whole is less than 2%. True hermaphrodites are probably less than 5% of them all. So that one means 0.0 something. I think it's within that range. And you know, these counts you have to be careful with because there's so much leftist willingness to overestimate the counts. I Googled it quick here and I'm channeling those results to you, but I don't even know that that's true. You have to be careful. Leftists have been caught systematically overestimating the amount of homosexuals in society. One of the approach was ridiculous. They they started showing photos to prisoners, and they assumed that if the prisoner was had an erection at seeing the photo of a male, that he was homosexual. It's such a misunderstanding of sexual attraction. The problem being, someone can see a photo of a male naked and it might evoke the vision of his own body. It might evoke the fact, oh, there's sex going on. And the person may be exclusively fantasizing about female potential partners to this naked male. So it's not because you have an erection in front of a photo that is sexual of your own sex that you are attracted to your own sex, but that's what that's the standard that we've seen in some studies. So be careful with this. Pineapple Platypotamus says, yeah, please don't fly, JF. Please don't do that. That's not fair. Yeah, the thing is, if I had to go into the US, I would probably apply for a pre-acceptance of my visa. I probably wouldn't just, when I was young, I would just go at the border and they would stamp a visa automatically. But in the current context, especially unvaccinated on top of it, it's almost impossible. But even if the vaccine passports were to be scrapped and stuff, even then I would have to apply in advance because I wouldn't want to drive to the border only to get the immigration official extort me and try to threaten me that, oh, you've said some stuff on social media. Yeah, it's 2022 and I've said some stuff on social media. All right. Paul E. Linden says, Neil, not so young. Yes, Neil is a Canadian. Was listening to some of his song. Not a big loss. And Jordan Peterson was saying, you'll be missed. Jordan Peterson tells Neil Young where to stick his open letter about Joe Rogan. I enjoyed listening to Neil. You'll be missed. Yeah, I mean, it's you cannot keep other people from listening to each other and talking to each other. Joe Rogan is speaking to 12 million people per episode. You have nothing to do. There's nothing you should be able to do to stop that from happening. You are a notoritarian asshole if you try to do so. Go away, says JF. 50% of Zoomers self-identify as LGBT. I can confirm this through my in-depth research online. Yeah, I don't know these numbers. It seems like there are certain circles in which there is a contagion of LGBT influence where it's fashionable to be identifying as LGBT. But even this category, LGBT, is extremely abusive. You can see that it's been designed to be pooling into one category, things that are very different. Because anyone who identifies as LGBTQ, the problem here is you have queer. And queer, you could be a quarterback just fucking cheerleaders and identify as queer, you know. You're totally a male, alpha male, just fucking blonde cheerleaders one after the other, full heterosexual, but you just stick the label queer to yourself and suddenly you're part of the LGBTQ. That's a little too broad for me. So let's see what the pastor was saying. YouTube labels John MacArthur's sermon hate speech after he said God made us male and female. Pastor John MacArthur of Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, California. Oh boy, that's the wrong place to be. Preached a sermon Sunday about biblical sexuality, which, as CBN's FaithWire reported, was part of an effort by pastors across North America to protest a new Canadian law that took effect January 8th after being pushed through Parliament with little debate. The concern is that Canada's Bill C-4 is broadly worded and could in effect ban biblical teachings on sexual ethics and might even limit personal communication on the subject. Preachers are protesting the law at the pulpits, with 4,000 pastors affirming their opposition as well as willingness to speak out against it. According to Liberty Coalition Canada, the bill's wording is broad enough to allow for the criminal prosecution of Christians who would speak biblical truth into the lives of those in bondage to sexual sins like homosexuality and transgenderism. Okay, so they have the opinion that it's a sexual sin, so they should be able to express it. The problem is the new law says you can't have a formal therapy session in which you're trying to influence someone away from the homosexual lifestyle. So if they say it's a sin from their perspective, is it trying to influence? New Nation says, JF, the title of this video is extremely confusing and should have instead been God made humans, male and female. Well, I'm quoting, when I put quotation mark, I will quote the original words of the person who spoke. As it turns out, this pastor said, there is no such thing as transgender. You are either XX or XY. That's it. God made men male and female. So that's his quote. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality. So you have to be open to a larger and broader interpretation of the word men. And that would be something that could be inculcated in you if you had an old teacher in the domains of anthropology or social sciences. The idea of humanity, it used to be that we didn't have to say humans. And in fact, it used to be that the word human was not much preferred with comparison to words like men. When we say men can be male and female, it's not an LGBT statement. It is a statement about men in the dictionary valid sense of man as the creature formed by all humans. The creature often said to be created by God, by people who are believers in religion. And what they mean really is men as humanity, including both women and males. So you have to be open to this more grandiose interpretation of the word men. I think it's a beautiful... And by the way, it's been a combat of the left for many decades to combat against this definition of men. Because I've seen it actually in university. I must have been something like 23 years old. And there was an old anthropology professor, and he was using the word man to mean humanity. And there were some females in the course that were starting to complain. And he was like, I don't care about what you are saying. I'm not going to change a word that has been historically used again and again by thinkers across centuries to point to humanity. When it is said that God made man, we're not talking about just half of humanity. We're not talking just about those with penises. We're talking about the whole of humanity. So, what is there to retain? Well, I mean, this is trying to drag the attention. This is not a statement of hate. This is not hateful. But you have to be able to properly inform people who are headed toward the transsexual path. You have to be able to inform them, listen, even if you dress as a female, if you're born as a male, you're still going to have your XY chromosome. Essentially, your entire body is going to fight to a certain extent, and this could give you all sorts of health issues. You could suffer from just difficulty at looking female, but essentially your entire body is going to be fighting the choice that you think you made. This is what needs to be said to transsexual people. And one way to say it is in this pastor's word, although I don't share his belief in God, you know, I think he's right that a transsexual who transforms into a female, into a female-like entity, is still going to be XY. And this is going to have impacts. It's going to make the path difficult for the conversion. And ultimately, let's never forget that no matter how close you will look to a female, you will never be able, at least not in the current technology, and not for 100 years, you'll never be able to reproduce as a female. Just like if you go toward the male sex change, you will never be able to produce a fertile sperm cell, which is what being male and female means. And so you'll be missing something forever. And in the process of having made that change, you will have abandoned a functional part of you. You will have abandoned your eggs if you're a female when you're born, or you will have abandoned your sperm if you're a male. Big Ash Fan sends a super chat through Odyssey. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Transgender Industrial Complex by Scott Howard is a great reference for data on this issue and identifies the familiar faces that are financing the institutionalization of this behavior. Well, thank you so much for your support. Given that you are using certain words, I will be not reading the rest of your super chat and I will be deleting it, but thank you for your super chat. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, the Quartering just dropped a video. Head of YouTube Gaming and two other executives quit. How long, if ever, before YouTube goes the way of MySpace? Listen, I had no hope in my lifetime to see the fall of YouTube, but I think the success that we're having on Odyssey and the fact that we can bring back guests and the quality that I've been happy to produce here allows me to have some hope. And I think we might see the MySpace-erization of YouTube. That would be a beautiful sight to see, to just see Susan falls, see her being replaced by another CEO in some sort of emergency where Google is losing it and they're realizing that they're unable to retain talent and that the audiences are giving up on YouTube. That is a beautiful possibility, and I think we might see it much sooner than I had expected. Sigurdum Sengis says, Jeff, please, will you invite Brittany Venti on for an interview? She wants 6 kids, but recently wants to return to femcel because of narcissistic reasons, i.e. physical changes due to pregnancy. Could you talk reason into her? Well, I didn't know that Brittany Venti was in the need of such patrolling. I will try. I will attempt to see if I still have a channel of communication with her. I don't have my Twitter account anymore. Listen, the clock is ticking for Brittany Venti. Tick, 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 tick. She needs to get producing babies. She needs to get into it. Hopefully she does. Psaki suggests monoclonal antibodies don't work against COVID in bumbling defense of FDA decision. The FDA has made today such a political decision. they went after the monoclonal antibodies, which is what has been given alongside ivermectin and other treatments, for example, to Tim Pool. I believe Joe Rogan had those. And it's a popular treatment as an alternative to for those people who don't want to be vaxxed with the mRNA. It's become an alternative popular treatment. And they are using it very much in Florida. In Florida, that's one of the pillars of their approach to the COVID pandemic. And it's been showing some success. Now, the FDA bans these things based on the fact that they are monoclonal antibodies that are targeted at a previous genetic sequence of the spike, which is true. So you could argue, and they say it's unlikely that it will work with Omicron. And the problem here is you're making decisions based on the likelihood. What about the vaccine? Do you think that it's likely that the vaccines will be efficient against Omicron? I mean, all you're taking are these little studies that show, oh, yes, a third booster will get you protected for a couple more weeks or a couple more months. And you're not applying this kind of severity to the vaccine because the vaccine, as it turns out, has the exact same defect as monoclonal antibodies. They are targeted toward old versions of the disease that we're fighting. They are targeted against alpha. So I find it a totally political decision aimed probably at making life difficult for the DeSantis of this world. But it's looking pathetic, one. So the federal government is showing itself to be very petty through this. And I don't think it's going to work that much because the fact is Omicron probably... The monoclonal antibody strategy has been an overkill forever. It's been an overkill since the beginning. It can have its role in someone who's very immunologically diminished, someone who would probably die from COVID. But the Omicron is so weak that even those people who are weak will probably find some form of natural immunity from contracting it. So I don't think it's going to have the expected effect. But you saw Jen Psaki defend the idea that we shouldn't look for alternative COVID treatment. We should look only for one to rule them all, one to bind them in darkness. She says, let's just take a step back here just to realize how crazy this is. We've approached COVID treatments like fitting a medicine cabinet. We're not relying on one type, one brand, or one treatment. We invested in and continue to buy a variety across monoclonal antibodies, pre-exposure prevention therapies, and oral antivirals. Is diversity becoming a problem, Jen? Isn't diversity our strength? If it has to be our strength, wouldn't it be especially in the field of medicine, where some specific people have certain health issues, some people are reactive to vaccines, some people have risks of autoimmune disorder? This seems like the exact field in which diversity could be our strength. But no, Jen Psaki is criticizing this. We should want only one brand, one treatment. Canada appears to be embracing freedom. The convoy of truckers is keeping its progression. And look at this. The local populations across Canada are gathering around highways just to cheer on the truckers. Very impressive to see this. That's why my question on entropy is, do you think that these truckers would succeed at stopping the vaccine mandate? They seem to be headed toward some place of protest around Ottawa, and I don't know what they will do there. Will this block all the highways? Will this reduce the transit of politicians, their ability to travel across Ottawa? I don't know, but it's going to be good to follow this. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, will you verify this Pfizer exec and former FDA director, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, suggests US follows the UK and most of Europe in ending mask mandates and forced injection? Well, I cannot do a fact check live. I can Google it and see. Look, this is an article at Real Clear Politics, which I expect to be a general left-wing sources, so I don't expect them to be anti-vax or lying for the anti-vax. Pfizer board member and former FDA commissioner Scott Gottlieb, states should not ban vaccine mandates. Okay, that's an old news item. That's weirdly worded. Should not ban mandates. Okay. No, so I can't do on the, you know, hot verifications of that kind. The thing is, those are me. I just found it. It's on Facebook. It's a meme. I have to be given some trusted news source to assess who interviewed him, where did he state this, and this is too long to do live. But thank you for this info. I'll check it later tonight. Dermot Gamongo is on Entropy. He says, since the human body is built around their reproduction or organs to keep testicles or ovaries alive and successful, can we make an argument that humans are mainly reproduction organs? Well, you can make the argument, of course, and that's what it is. We are just... You can have a view of intergenerational transmission. Like, just imagine the cycle of penis-vagina, penis-vagina, penis-vagina. And the whole thing beside this is all an afterthought and a secondary effect of this process. You can have a testicle-centered view of evolution, and you would be more right than wrong with it. Essentially, the genes are like, okay, we got the penis into the vagina at this generation. How could we make this better? And then it's they start showing up all sorts of features across evolutionary times. It's like, oh, look, if I have some lungs here, and if I have a heart here, and if I have a brain here, it makes the penis to vagina contact better. It works better somehow, and it goes up to even evolution leading to capacities like intelligence and capacity for comedy, humor. It's like, because your capacity for comedy leads you to get more vagina penetration. It's as simple as this. That's evolution. And yes, it's a valid view of life. Biden administration to withdraw COVID-19 vaccination and testing regulation aimed at large businesses. Yes! This is a big victory, guys. The federal government has abandoned in the face of their rejection by the Supreme Court. So I was saying, if they followed their own logic, they should not be alarmed at the Supreme Court decision. They should say, oh, the Supreme Court is keeping us from making a vaccine mandate because the workers would go home and still be vaccinated. Therefore, the vaccine goes beyond the workplace. They could have said, we're going to keep the mask mandate, though. And they didn't. They abandoned everything. And that tells me the Democrats are starting to integrate the idea that their behavior with the American population is going to lead to strong punishment in the voting booth. So the federal government has abandoned their crazy ideas around mandates for businesses of 100 or more. Now, they still have recommendations and all, but it won't have the force of law, and they won't be able to essentially use the workplace as an excuse to push their vaccine campaign, which was really a health campaign that they were targeting individuals with, and they made it look like an OSHA decision, but it was an executive decision based at controlling the health of the American people. Alex sends a super chat through Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Now he has copied his super chat in a paste bin. Let's see what he has to say. Hello, JF. I would like to ask you about growing plants. I'm interested in growing some exotic berries that belong to the apple family. I've got about 70 seeds, but here's the problem. These particular berries require very wet and cold climate to fruit. Where I live, it is extremely dry and hot. Temperatures reach up to about 45 degrees Celsius in the summer. I don't have much money or land space. I've probably got enough space for 3 large trees and some other space for pots. What steps can I take to guarantee that from these 70 seeds, I will be able to successfully grow lots of fruits from at least one tree in my climate with the little space and seeds that I have? Could you please detail the whole process from seed to fruiting tree? Also, I would prefer not to create a hybrid as the fruit is medicinal and it may reduce the health benefits of the fruit. Well, you are asking for complicated stuff. First, I'm not an expert at growing trees. Trees, I tend to buy them. I've always bought them already grown. For like they are 1 foot or 3 feet high when I buy them. And so I'm already working first with trees that are adjusted to the climate. And second, I am not getting them from seed because it's a very long process. Growing a tree from seed, something like an avocado tree, can take about 7 years before you get to even a viable tree that would produce a couple of fruits, and perhaps 10 or 15 years down the line to get a highly productive tree. So you are asking for something that's almost impossible. On top of it, I mean, not impossible, but very long if you were to succeed. On top of it, you're trying to fight against the nature of your local climate, and that's a no-no to me. I wouldn't even do it with simpler annual vegetables. Certainly, I wouldn't do that with trees. The fact is, if you are fighting against your local conditions, you will fail. Nature will win. Do not fight against it. And if those trees are not made for your climate, they will your experiment will fail. Now, still, we have to still note that it seems that your temperatures may be okay, but that the big problem is the humidity. And so I don't think there's much solutions to this, because you could have a setup of humidity control inside. You could have a humidifier that turns on a smart switch inside a small space or a mini greenhouse, or, you know, like really miniature greenhouse that you make just for the seedlings. And with it, you could control the humidity in a satisfactory manner for maybe the first 2 or 3 years until you get a tree that's plantable outside. But then what's going to happen? Are you going to have any surviving individual from your 70 seeds? Maybe not. If you really want to dedicate yourself to this and you don't care about the possibility of failing, because I would evaluate, given that you've taken them in another climate, I would evaluate your chances of success at this mission to be about 5%. There's 95% chance that none of these 70 seeds will lead to anything viable. And I mean, it's already hard enough when you do it from in the exact climate that the berries are meant to grow in. If you do it in a climate that is fundamentally different, especially dryness, and on top of it, something tells me that your cycle of seasons, because you tell me only about the temperature you have in the summer, which seems pretty odd, but what about the winter? You know, trees have their boundaries in terms of how cold they can survive. And a berry, a tree that doesn't have specialized evolutionary adaptations to prepare for the winter, that's what trees do. They prepare for the winter with various strategies where they store sugar into their branches and stuff like this. This is why you get maple syrup in cold nations like ours. If they don't have this, they won't evolve it from your 70 seeds. So it's really a shot in the dark, and it's a question of just how different your climate is, and is it within the viable boundaries of the plant you're targeting? The only way for you to know is to plant the 70 seeds, grow all of them in restricted pots in a controlled environment so that they are not exposed at the great dangers of their of the cold or the differences of your climate right now, so that for their first 1 to 3 years, they would be in a controlled environment. And then you would transplant them batch by batch, maybe starting with 10 of them. And then you might learn some things about your planting outside, and you might learn something about how they react to your winter. And then the next year, you could plant 10 more of those from your artificial setup into the outside. My guess is there's going to be some boundary, either at the humidity level or the winter cold level, where your plants will fail. And then you want, on top of it, without apparently knowing whether it's a hybrid to begin with, you want to grow them without knowing if they are self-fertile. The problem is that even if you had one surviving tree from your 70 seeds, if it's not self-fertile, it needs another species to pollinate it. You don't have that species. You don't appear to know about this. If you don't know, you might be faced with a species that is not self-fertile, that will not self-fertilize from its male flowers into its female flowers. So that reduces even more your chances of succeeding. That being said, I respect the autism. And so, you know, in a way, it's not super costly in terms of time to just set up 70 different pots and just try your seeds and try to create this artificial environment with a humidifier and see what happens. If you want to try at it, despite the low chances of success, go for it. I encourage you to go against the grain. And, you know, in the end, all great life forms that exist today in terms of farming, farm animals, farm plants, trees, fruit trees, all of them exist because some artist thought he could do something that was very unlikely to succeed, but it did succeed. In the end, life finds a way. That is a true statement. But does life find a way over 70 seeds and 70 seeds only? I can't tell you. Thomas Howard says, isn't JF from Quebec? What happened? Weren't they trying to secede from Canada at one point? Wow, how far they've fallen. Oh yeah, I'm from Quebec, and I was proud of Quebec, and I was one sovereignist Quebecois. But the country has been totally destroying itself with communism. And that was one of the big defects of the whole sovereignist movement there. It wasn't a right-wing sovereignist movement. It was a left-wing nationalist movement. So it was handicapped by the growth of the state, and Quebec has become an unviable place. Alex says, oh, the apples are grown in the middle of Africa. No problem. No, I mean, it's possible. But the thing is, in the middle of Africa, you have too much heat. And that's too much heat is very rarely a problem for plants. Plants, too much cold is their big problem. So Africa is on the right side. It's too humid, too hot. So you're going to be okay in certain places of Africa. And if you're in the middle of Africa, then yes, it might be too dry. But I have no detail about the berries that you want to cultivate. If I did, if you want to tell me what is your berry, I could give you an evaluation of the likelihood. But out of nowhere like this, and if it seems to be kind of jungle berries of some kind that you're trying to get, so highly humid environment, this might constitute a grave problem for an Australian environment, an environment that would be too dry. Woman who came into contact with escaped monkeys says she developed symptoms. That's very worrying because these escaped monkeys could have herpes B, and she's probably going to have to be followed very closely because herpes B is a virus that lives within macaques and monkeys in general. And it's not dangerous to them that much. They don't die from it. They've evolved to handle it. But we haven't evolved to handle it. So if we don't get immediate medical attention to stop the progression of this virus, it kills us. That's why when you work in monkeys like I used to do, there's all sorts of security measures around not getting a herpes B infection. Andrew Torba on Gab is being criticized because he has associated with America First. Apparently, he has made himself one of the sponsors and participants to a conference of some kind, America First, Nick Fuentes type of stuff. And his answer to people who were insulting him is, I don't need permission from anyone to advertise, market, and grow Gab. It's my job and duty to do so. If you know anything at all about me or my marketing strategy, it has always been about generating controversy. Controversy is attention. Attention is influence. The point of marketing is to influence people to get off big tech and get on Gab. In order to do that, I need their attention. Some of you aren't trusting the plan and turned on a dime because, God forbid, I advertise the platform in a way you don't like. I won't forget it, but I will forgive you and won't hold it against you when you come to your senses and realize I am doing what I have always done, what is the best for Gab. It's fine to me as a libertarian, you know, he should do whatever he likes, and I can benefit from the Gab offering of services without subscribing to Torba's belief or to his admiration of America First. So I think it's fine, but it does raise the question of, you know, when you buy a pro subscription at Gab, or when you favor Gab and when you have them make money with it, what will they do with it? The thing is, Torba tends to be associated with very specific, very defined political stances rather than be kind of the overarching leader of a platform for everyone, a kind of big umbrella. He tends to be like, no, I'm a Catholic, and not a Catholic, but I'm a Christian, and I believe in God and Jesus Christ is our savior, and here I'm specifically sponsoring this conference. It's a strategy. It's fine. If it's a strategy for user expansion, so be it. Carnival says, extremely upsetting news about the OSHA mandate. Going back to the status quo will make 2022 an extremely boring year. Nothing happening. No excitement. Well, you know, don't take a victory with such a black-pilled approach. I mean, you're telling me it will suck because the other side will not win, and so we won't be there being victimized and forced into vaccination. I mean, come on, try to enjoy a little small victory here and there. Biden says no one knows what Putin will do after White House called Russian invasion of Ukraine imminent. Okay, it's an article where they try to present Vladimir Putin is unstable. No one knows. Okay. Judge say, this one is scandalous. A judge saves New York mask mandate after last minute appeal from Democrats. Kathy Hochul, this new New York governor who's been conquering the governorship of New York by having a cancel culture apply to Cuomo. So she's the replacement of Cuomo. And the state Supreme Court of New York said, your mask mandate is anti-constitutional. It's in violation of the New York Constitution. It's null and void. No one should apply it. It doesn't exist anymore. Kathy Hochul said, we strongly disagree with this position and we will do whatever we can to change it. This is your state Supreme Court. And she's talking about it as if it was an adversarial political decision. It's like it's the state Supreme Court with Democrat appointed judges that have been appointed as justices. You're not going to get a better result from the US Supreme Court where there are Republican appointed justices. But still, she decided to create an appeal just to delay, just to get a couple more weeks of mask mandate applying. John Drake says, what? I read the NY Supremes just knocked it down today. Well, they knocked it down yesterday. You read about it today. But today, she's canceling the effect of this state Supreme Court decision by creating an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And with the hope of what? Extending it in application a couple of weeks max. I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court may very well say, no, while we review this case, it shouldn't apply. It's ridiculous because you have politicians at this point talking about judiciary decisions as things to combat and things to agree or not agree with. No, you're bound by law to just respect what's been decided here. Pelosi announces re-election bid ahead of 2022 midterms. Pelosi previously vowed to step down as the leader of House Democrats after the 2022 election. So there's a good news in there and a bad news. We're gonna get some more Pelosi. She will be running an election for the 2022 midterms. However, the good news is it's the last time. It's the last time because Pelosi has vowed to step down as a leader of the House Democrats after this election. So we'll see if she sticks to her promise, but that is the state of things right now. Shots fired after an undercover operation goes wrong at a Florida shopping mall. So this was the vehicle of an inspector of the county sheriff of Hillsboro, and he made a transaction of gun. He was working as an undercover. He wanted to kind of prove that there were illegal transactions of guns happening in the neighborhood and that someone was selling, illegal guns. And the guy who was, I think he was buying guns from him, pulled a gun and tried to steal the guns from him. So he tried to steal the guns instead of buying them as he had promised. And it turned out that the guy he was trying to steal from was a police agent. And so thankfully, although there were shots fired toward the inspector, thankfully the SWAT teams or whatever that were supervising this all had a chance to move in and arrest the guy, and no one was killed. So I think it turns out good, but those are very dangerous jobs, trying to present yourself as a fake arms purveyor and getting your arms that you were supposed to sell, getting them stolen from you and then getting shot at because the SWAT teams are moving in. Wow. Pfizer begins human trials for new Omicron vaccine as US cases tumble. Pfizer and its partner BioNTech just launched the first human trials of their revised COVID vaccine, which has been adapted to try and provide better protection against the Omicron variant. Shortly after the emergence of Omicron in late November, Pfizer and its rivals all promised to produce another generation of vaccines, claiming they could have them ready within 3 months. So far, at least, that timeline appears mostly on track. However, an even more important question for Pfizer might be this: who will even need these jabs when they're ready, since it looks like the Omicron wave numbers will have finally tapered off by the time the trials are completed? Yes, we are faced with a relatively slow progression of the vaccine discovery, and the waves of this virus are becoming so much tighter in time, so much quicker. The peak of Omicron is like peak and then down. We might reach the point at which pharmaceutical companies are just unable to keep up with the speed at which the virus is evolving. This I will not show on screen because apparently the moment of death of someone cannot be shown on screen on certain social media. Although I think I could on Odyssey, but I will be careful here. But there's an Australian guy who just detonated himself. He was just driving a car in a regular neighborhood, and he had a vest of explosives on him, and the vest exploded while he was driving the car. It seems like a failed criminal attempt or a failed terrorist act. The car is just driving regularly, and then poof, the vest explodes inside the car. The guy is dead. That is what happened. So a failed terrorist action in Australia. Good that no one else was hurt than apparently the terrorist. Joe Biden's gasoline problem is back. The price of gas is as high as it's ever been. Costly crude oil means runaway gasoline, with Brent now threatening to hit $90 per BBL barrel, I guess. Pressure on the vital motor fuel remains to the upside. In this environment, look for governments trying to protect hard-pressed consumers, aka voters, from pain at the pump. The latest salvo came in Asia this morning. Japan said it will give oil refiners subsidies that are designed to help processors maintain margins without passing on the rising cost to customers. The strategy also applies to diesel and kerosene oil, and may be followed by other measures. Okay, so the price of gas is becoming insane. We are headed toward the conclusion of the show, and this news item shows to me the importance of the female-male relationship and how ultimately females are often an inhibitor to their males in terms of their pursuit of the truth, their pursuit of political endeavors. Here we have a case of a man who's been talking against the vaccines, Robert Kennedy Jr. Cheryl Hines is his wife, and she condemns her husband, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s anti-vaccine comments, which invoked Anne Frank. So, of course, comparison between the current state of medical fascism and medical oppression have been made with Holocaust moments. I tend not to like that much these comparisons, because I think these comparisons tend to elevate certain historical events above other in terms of their victim-based narratives. So I generally stay personally away from these comparisons, but it remains the case that the factual comparison can be made, that there are certain societies in the past who have went insane on fears of pathogens, okay? And our society looks like one. So I think that the mainstream rejection of this comparison at times is unjustified. So let's see what the wife tweeted. Cheryl Hines says, "My husband's reference to Anne Frank at a mandate rally in DC was reprehensible and insensitive. The atrocities that millions endured during the Holocaust should never be compared to anyone or anything. His opinions are not reflection of my own." This is exactly what's happening in couples across America, where a female who does not properly understand that her male must be given the space to freely explore ideas, to freely explore contrarian ideas and comparisons is she acts as an inhibitor. And in fact, she succeeded at acting as an inhibitor. Look at this, Robert Kennedy Jr. I apologize for my reference to Anne Frank, especially to families that suffered the Holocaust horrors. My intention was to use examples of past barbarism to show the perils from new technologies of control. To the extent my remarks caused hurt, I am truly and deeply sorry. Women who want to take good care of their male must understand that at times when they act like this, they become an impediment to the free exploration of the world by their male. Because you have just cucked Robert Kennedy Jr., who was a solid man. He was a man who has been holding a very decent position on vaccination. And I didn't hear a single error from him in terms of adhering to a conspiracy theory or being wrong about something. I think his critique of the vaccine fascism that is rising in America is right on point and just right in the heart. But now he's getting cocked from the inside of his own couple, of his own marriage. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for joining us. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, how would you go about training a raven or crow to retrieve dollar bills from the environment? Why would you do that? I mean, of course you can. It's like you just have to find a reward. And you start by putting the dollar bill right in front of the crow. And if he just picks on it, he gets a reward. And then eventually you put the dollar bill a little bit away from him. And you had other confounders so that the crow is initially confounded and he's like, where's the bill? But eventually he gets more subtle in getting to the bill. And eventually you even hide the bill under other things. So he has to uncover it before being able to pick at it. And then you start giving him rewards only for when he succeeds to find the bill. And then eventually you will want to train the crow not just to find the bill and pick on it, but to grab it and bring it to you. So eventually it could take the form of just rewarding him when he takes it in his mouth, and eventually you just reward him when he brings it to you. So you increase the level of complexity, and at each step the crow gets better and gets into a more complex set of actions to get the reward. This could take weeks if it ever happens. Now, eventually you would get to the point where you are releasing the crow in some parts of the environment, and then he has to bring the dollar bill to you back in your house. And eventually you get the dollar bill further and further from your house, and eventually you would in principle have a dollar gathering crow. I think you're going to face impossibilities along the way. I don't think... Oops. Why are these sites assuming I want to hear their crappy video when I click on these links? Fuck off with your videos! Australia says... This was sent by an audience member. Australia says WeChat has removed the account of its prime minister. Australia has accused WeChat of taking down Prime Minister Scott Morrison's account and redirecting his followers to a site that claims to provide information for Chinese Australians. The removal of the account was first confirmed Monday by James Patterson, chairman of Australia's Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security. He said in interviews with Australian media that Morrison's account on the platform had been taken over and rebranded. Okay, well, this doesn't look like a platform decision. It looks like a hacking. So I think they are confused in their accusation here. Looks like your account has been hacked. Your password wasn't secure enough. Skatey says, I haven't asked JF for mud here. Things are okay. People rarely troll on Odyssey. Well, I'm willing to give you mud. Certainly, you've been a great mod in the past. I just need to assess that this is the true Skatey. So I would need you to parallel communicate with me on Discord or something like this, where I can properly identify you. And not forgetting that I don't have my Twitter account anymore. Or you can send me an email. But yeah, we do need mods, although it's been calm. But one day, you know, I'm going to cover a controversial news item and the trolls are going to come in. So we're going to need people. Carnival says, that's our girl, Katie, keeping the mask madness alive a little while longer. Well, at this point, Carnival, I think you're trolling. Will the Canadian truckers stop the mandates? 8 people say maybe. 6 people say no. 0 people say yes. So none of you believe. You don't have much faith in the Canadian truckers. Well, you know, people in nations like Canada, although those are highly cocked nations at the political level, and when it goes to Justin Trudeau, you have highly cocked people, okay? But these nations are so fragile, a little bit like France, that when the workers get together and they protest and they really decide to fuck the system up, let me tell you, there can be a surprising decision by our cocked leaders when they are seeing their countries, their economy being destroyed below them. So don't lose hope. It could have an impact. I mean, especially in Canada, this is a high surface country with low population density on average. Truckers are as essential to life as anything else, as water and healthcare. So don't give up. Don't be too blackpilled. This is JF speaking, telling you not to be too blackpilled. So believe me this time. Tomorrow, I believe we have, it's going to be in 2 days from now, Semiagog will be on the show. This will be amazing. I'm looking at getting other guests too. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow.